Thanks to all of you being here.
Yes.
The way the story goes is Keith came in here right before I was getting off the air yesterday. He said, how would you like to talk to an F-35 pilot? I assume that since we were just had an F-35 flying over us, it was going to be that guy. But it's not that guy. So, Keith Hansey, who are we talking to this morning?
This is my buddy John Nitro Lorbecki. We served together for 15 years. So I retired in 2020. I got there in 2005. John, I think, when did you get there, 2003?
Yeah, I joined late 2003.
Yeah. Dylan. He's been there. So, and I know, John, he was an F-16 pilot and then transitioned to F-35s. He's an F-35 instructor pilot down there, so he's training all the new guys. And I thought it'd be awesome for him to come on and give us, like, kind of the operations side. What does it take to set up 19 or 20 flyovers on the 4th of July?
Yeah. Major Lorbecki, thank you for being with us this morning, taking time out of your very busy schedule. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Got to ask you the first question. Where'd you get the handle Nitro? Is that something you came up with? Is these call signs, or are these things that people give you? Give us a little background on Nitro.
Oh, nobody picks their own call sign. So,
okay.
Nobody.
After you're in the squadron for a little bit, you're mission qualified, then you go to a naming. So all the other pilots there that are named, they get to pick your name for you. And there's always some good stories behind that one.
Yeah, I bet. Anything we can share on the radio?
Nope. Not
good. I was hoping you would say that. Excellent, excellent. But Nitro, thanks for being with us here this morning. This is a big deal for us in little old Tomahawk. I want to get a little background here, too. Jennifer Turkowitz is our Main Street director, and one of your volunteers, Mary Smith, sitting alongside here. Did Mary come to you, or did you go to Mary? How did this work out to get an F-35 fly over here?
Mary came to us. Mary has been having this dream. She's talked about it for a couple of years, wanting this to happen, and it just wasn't working. And she said, you know, Jen, can Main Street back me if I need anything? Can you help me? I really want this to happen this year. And we said, whatever you need, Mary, you just let us know. And she said, all right, I'm off, I'm running. And Mary took off. And nobody says no to Mary. If they do it, she usually wears them back down. But no, this was a wonderful tribute to be able to do this. So kudos to Mary for all her hard work.
Mary, you went through a lot to make this happen for us on 4th of July. And so now we've got a Top Gun pilot on the phone. And any messages you'd like to send to Major John here this morning, Mary?
I just want to tell you guys are amazing. The respect that I not only have, but just walking around Tomahawk and hearing this, like, thank you so much. And it felt so patriotic, so exhilarating. I can't even put it into words. I literally cried when it went over.
Yeah.
And so I thank you for what you guys do. It's really important to all of us.
Yeah, it's super kind of you guys. Thank you.
What does it take to put this all together? I know you guys had such a busy schedule on Saturday, and so what does it take to make these all happen? It's got to be an administrative almost nightmare.
Well, I mean, yeah, there's definitely a lot of mission planning that goes into it. So to do 20, like, back-to-back-to-back-to-back, that's a feat that those guys were doing. So, I mean, you think about it, if you just take a single flyover – and just work on one, it's pretty easy, right? You got a place that you're going to be. You know that, say, if we're going to sync it up with a national anthem or something, you know that the national anthem is on average about 1 minute and 15 seconds, and we're going 350 knots, so 402 miles an hour, so what that equates to. Combine those two things, I know that I need to push from, at the very start of the national anthem, I have to be 8.3 miles away in order to arrive right on site by the end of the national anthem. So in a vacuum, as long as I know exactly when the national anthem is starting, I can hit that push point, and then it'll all work out. But rarely does it go that smoothly, of course. Like, there's always all these extra things that are going on to screw up the timing. But as long as I know exactly when they're going to start, then it can go smoothly.
I understand some lightning got us a little bit of a delay here this last Saturday, right?
Yeah, so things always get screwed up, right? Something happens, and you just got to adjust to what's ever going on.
John, one of the other things I would like you to be aware of, I'm not sure if you're aware of it or not, but the flyover that happened here in Tomahawk was in dedication and memory of a gentleman named Dan Ryder. I want to have Mary tell you a little bit about that man, okay? Mary?
Dan Ryder was a guidance counselor here at Tomahawk High School for a number of years. And unfortunately, he was killed in an automobile accident about a year and a half ago. And he had such a way with students. It was, I don't know what word I want to use, but he was a funny man. He was a serious man. But he had spent time in the military. And when this happened, you know, about a year later, I thought, we have to recognize this man for all the work he did for the Tomahawk students and the number that he got involved in the military, either because he knew they were just right for that. If they were lost and didn't know what to do, he knew how to guide them into the areas they have to go. So from the bottom of my heart, I thank you for doing this because it was very special for a very special individual in Tomahawk.
Yeah, that's what this is all about, right? Like, sounds like Dan's a great American, and to,
absolutely
to have the flyovers. Like, that's someone that embodies the American spirit. That's what flyovers are supposed to, you know, bring out in everybody.
How often do you and the other pilots are aware of what happens on the ground when you guys fly over? With these big sporting events, it's just a mass gathering. But when it comes to these smaller town flyovers, I hope that you guys are all aware of what this means to us and the after effects. I'm not sure if you even know. But like we were saying earlier, after he flew over us, the parade didn't move for a while. There were a lot of tears running down people's faces. There was a lot of people just clapping and applauding. They refused to sit down. Hats stayed off. Commander Bob Seward of our VFW here in Tomahawk was running up and down the street and yelling, "That's the sound of freedom! That's the sound of freedom!" The effect that you guys have on us down here on terra firma, I hope you all appreciate exactly what you're doing beyond just the flyover and the spectacle of it all, but it really hits home with a lot of folks right where we live.
Oh, that's really good to hear. That's good to hear. I mean, we're not welcome in all categories, right? So, but I know that Toma and North Wisconsin, there's a lot of red-blooded Americans up there that just love what the country stands for. So that is just awesome to hear. And that's exactly what we're, you know, trying to invoke out of people.
John, just a little bit of background on yourself. What made you become the pilot that you are today? What got you into the military in the first place? What inspired you to do what you're doing right now?
For me, so my dad was a private pilot, and we had a small family plane that my dad flew, my grandpa flew, they flew together. So what got me into it was they would always bring me up to Oshkosh. So we went to the air show every single year when I was a kid, and then you get to see the whole gamut of aviation at that show that's just, you know, right down the street from us. So seeing fighter jets fly there once a year, it just always invoked, like, I need to go do that, and I'm going to figure out a way to make it happen. So that's how it all started.
And what are some of the things, anything that you can share with us, some of the highlights of your military career, especially stuff that happened in the air?
I mean, there's been a lot now. I mean, we've been all over the world. Been to Iraq twice, Afghanistan, all over Europe, Korea, Japan. And some of the combat sorties that we had are just nights that I'll never forget. Mm-hmm. So anytime that you're supporting the dudes on the ground and helping them like get through the night, those are stories that I'll, you know, tell the family and the grandkids for sure.
Absolutely. I had a chance to see some F-16s in action at our WASA air show a couple of weeks ago, and some of the maneuvers that these aircraft are capable of is just amazing to those of us that don't know anything about other than the fact that, boy, that is some cool stuff. As far as the capabilities of these F-35s that we got to see here in Tomahawk, give us some of the highlights about operating one of these massive pieces of mechanical machinery.
Yeah, so F-35 is it's the most technologically advanced aircraft that we got, and that's being mass produced. So really the big difference between that one and the F-16 is all technology. So it's a stealth fighter, meaning, you know, radars don't really see it very well. And it's a data link machine, meaning that we can communicate with other airplanes and offboard things that are on the ground, people all over the place. Like, the data transfer that airplane does is amazing, and it just like fuses the battle space together. But the main mission of the F-35 is SEED, so suppression of enemy air defenses. So the job is to fly into hostile territory, try to get these surface-to-air missile sites or SAM sites to turn on and shoot at you. And then as soon as they turn on and they start illuminating, then we know where they are and we go take care of them. And that's the specialty of the F-35 that no other fighter can really go do.
Wow. Very, very amazing. Keith, I want to bring you on the conversation a little bit more here now, too, because some of the things that you were telling me about the capabilities of these flying machines, I told everybody on the radio that day, we're going to see this airplane way before we hear it. And then when we hear it, we're really going to hear it.
It's loud.
But you said that's really nothing compared to what this thing is really capable of, because if this thing really showed off everything it could do, nobody would have windows in the whole city of Tomahawk, maybe Lincoln County. There'd be expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, so if, like, as John would know, if you go past a certain speed and you break the sound barrier, it would have literally blew every window out in Tomahawk. So that's what John was saying about that. Do you know what speed roughly they came over? Probably at that 450?
Probably around like 400 mile an hour, 350 knots. That's nice, comfortable speed.
And he lit it up too, so it was full afterburner, so it was nice and loud.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Keith, as far as helping to put this together, I really thank you for thinking of me and coming on here and making John part of our program here today. Yeah. So just you guys, anything that we would like to listen in on two guys, Air Force guys talking here?
All right, John, so it's a Saturday afternoon. You have an F-16 sitting out there and an F-35. You got an hour and a half to do whatever you want. Which one are you going to choose?
To do whatever I want?
Yep.
Just a single
airplane, go poke holes in the sky.
Oh, I'm choosing the F-16 then. Okay.
So it does, because I got the opportunity to fly the F-16 and, pull a 9Gs. I don't know if the F-35, is it 9G capable?
It's 9G capable, but it just bleeds energy a lot more than what the bike.
Okay. So the F-16 is more the Corvette and the F-35 just feels more like a Camaro then or a sedan.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the family model.
Okay. Boy, that's really saying something right there. The F-16s that I got to see, I was telling Keith yesterday, John, I saw this pilot climb straight up. I mean, straight up almost to the point where we couldn't see it anymore. Then it just paused, and it was like a cartoon. It just, like, paused in the air, and then it just started fluttering down and fluttering down. And we think, he's in trouble here. What's going to happen? And all of a sudden, boop, took right off again. What these things are capable of, you guys are actually having some fun when you're getting up there and you're allowed to freestyle a little bit, aren't you?
Oh, when you push the throttle all the way forward in these machines, I mean, the F-35's got 44,000 pounds of thrust. F-16 was about 30,000 pounds of thrust, but a lot lighter of a machine. And they're rocket ships. When you just point the nose straight up, you got enough speed. Like, it's a sensation for sure.
If you could tell us one thing about what you do there in Madison, your everyday life. It's not every day, I'm assuming, that you're getting to do all this fun and exciting stuff. But what's everyday life for you down there in Madison?
So, I mean, I'd went part-time with the military a year ago. So my civilian job, I also fly fighters, but down in Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay.
The good part about this is when I do go to work in Madison, I'm showing up and I'm flying just about every single day that I'm there in order to meet our flying requirements that we have. So, yeah, show up. We'll brief whatever mission that we're doing that day, go fly it, and then we'll go debrief and then just rinse and repeat.
We're going to have to close out here real quick here. I want to have a couple things from you and Keith here. As far as you're concerned, John, if you had a message to tell young kids or parents of young kids right now that are looking for direction in life, maybe thinking about military service, and especially being an airman, airman correct?
Yeah.
Okay, if they want to, especially follow in your footsteps, any advice you'd give to parents and kids out there, John?
Just to chase it. I mean, the first step to doing anything in this world is wanting to do it. And if there's something that's out there that you want to go do, then just keep pursuing and keep pursuing. It took me a long time to get hired. I think it was like 30 applications and about 10 years of just chasing it before it actually happened. And boy, it's a good feeling when it does. So it's just persistence and never losing sight of the dream.
Keith works a lot with a lot of kids around here. Keith, what would you add to that?
Definitely. And there's a lot of advantages to the military. I spent 28 and a half years throughout, active duty, reserve, guard, and I loved every minute of it. Mm. And there's a lot of opportunities that you can gain from that military experience. Not everybody stays as long as I did or John, but if you can do your 4 years or 6 years and get that college money,
that GI Bill benefits, is big.
Yeah, there's a ton of benefits. And for kids out there that were like myself, didn't know what I really wanted to do, so I joined the Air Force to just – because I knew if I went to college straight out of high school, that was not going to be good.
Yeah.
So I joined it, and I loved every minute of it and took advantage of everything that I could gain from it.
Mary, I want to ask you, did you have a chance to talk to or see Dan's family after this all happened on Saturday?
I saw them beforehand, okay. not on Saturday, and they're very honored and very touched by this.
So this is going to last not only in this town, but in a lot of people's hearts a long time.
Absolutely.
Jennifer, Main Street director here, and boy, this is a big deal for our town and downtown, wasn't it?
It was a huge deal, so I can't thank you guys enough for making this a reality for us and to be able to do that in honor of Dan.
Yeah.
On the 250th anniversary, I mean, what a tribute for our community. Thank you all so much.
Yeah, Major John Lorbecki, Nitro, you guys, please pass on to everybody else that does this, especially from our small town folks. This is a big, big deal to us in small town America,
yes.
Especially those of us who love our country the way we do, and especially when we have a special person to dedicate this to. I just want to make sure that you and everybody else that does what you do understand exactly what it means to us. We support you 1,000%, and gosh, you're welcome back here anytime, either in the air or on the ground.
Yes.
Oh, we love it. That's super great to hear. Appreciate all the kindness, and like it's all for America and all Americans, great citizens, everything they stand for. So that's wonderful. Thank you.
Well, Major Lorbecki, if we can ever talk to you again, please, you and Keith stay in touch, and Keith knows how to get a hold of me. And if we can ever talk to you again about any of these kind of subjects, you are always going to have a place on the radio in this town, Major.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for taking time out of your day to be with us here this morning. And so this has been a pretty cool morning, you three.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah. And Keith, I you know, if ever you're going to darken our door around here, just do it this way.
Yeah.
Always going to be a good thing. And
yeah.
Jen and Mary, thank you both for taking time out of your day. It was kind of a last minute thing here today, but thank you both very much, too.
Honored to be here. Thank you.
Thank you.
And again, Major John Lorbecki, boy, Godspeed to you and all people that do what you do.
God bless.
Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate it.